prominent civil rights attorney and president of the Minneapolis NAACP will be at St. Michael's College tonight to speak about racism and the culture of policing. Nikema Levy-Pounds received a Distinguished Service Award from the Minnesota Governor's Commission this year for her work on economic and criminal justice, public policy, and how those issues relate to race. After her keynote speech at St. Michael's College tonight, Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo will offer his thoughts in response. Nikema Levy-Pounds spoke with VPR's Mitch Wortlieb about the message she'll be delivering tonight.
This issue of policing and race relations is a problem that impacts everyone. It's not acceptable for folks to sit idly by on the sidelines as we see video after video of an unarmed person being killed by a police officer. This matter is not just about what happens between an individual officer and someone who gets pulled over. It's important for us to begin to pay closer attention to the fact that our police culture has become much more militarized in recent years, and the larger effects related to criminalization and mass incarceration that has made the United States of America the number one country for imprisoning its citizens.
You made reference to the militarization of many police departments. Of course, we think of places like Ferguson, Missouri. Here in Vermont, recent studies have shown that people of color are pulled over for traffic stops in the state in disproportionate numbers as compared to Caucasian drivers. How do you see that sort of thing fitting into this larger national narrative about policing and bias?
Well, the issue that you are naming is one that we call racial profiling, where people are pulled over for driving while black, for example. Something that happened to my family actually just the other day for the tint on our windows. We were pulled over. The tint was measured, and then we were let go because, you know, we were following the law. But we saw many white drivers driving by in their vehicles, and there was no problem. They weren't pulled over. And there are so many stories that people tell, particularly African-American men, about being pulled over for seemingly minor infractions. As a matter of fact, if you look at the recent police shooting in the state of Minnesota surrounding Philando Castile, who was a 32-year-old black man, he and his fiance were pulled over for what was supposedly a broken taillight. But that stop by the police officer ultimately led to Philando Castile's untimely death. And so it's important for us to pay attention to issues that may not seem like a big deal now, but could actually wind up in a person's death.
I'm glad you brought up that issue of racial profiling, because Burlington Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo will be speaking after you do at St. Michael's College. He's been on the job in Burlington for about a year now, and he was hired after working for almost two decades in New York City. And when he was first hired for the Burlington job, there was some criticism because of an article that he wrote in 2001 in which he argued against any quick dismissal of racial profiling, saying that, quote, "It should never be an excuse to use skin color simply to intrude on innocent people's lives, but that following up on leads and descriptions in order to catch people who committed past crimes is good policing, and skin color is part of that description." Is that a distinction that has some merit?
Well, if you look at what happened in Philando Castile's case, the information that came through the dispatch showed that the officer said that Philando Castile had a wide-set nose, similar to a burglary suspect. Now, that is a racialized description that many African-American men fit. Simply because someone has a wide-set nose, dark-colored skin, does not make them a criminal. So we have to make sure that, you know, these vague descriptors, such as curly hair, dark skin, wide-set nose, are not used as a justification for pulling over a random person. Those are some of the questions that I'll be raising during my talk, and I'm hoping for a compelling yet provocative discussion around these issues.
You're going to be speaking to a mostly white audience. Is that something you're going to be very aware of, and how do you expect the response if some of the things you have to say are very critical of white culture, perhaps?
Well, I taught at a predominantly white law school for 13 years. And I actually attended boarding school on the East Coast of Massachusetts, North Andover. So I have no qualms about talking to a predominantly white audience. In fact, that's who I should be talking to, because white privilege is a key issue in this entire discussion. Many of these things have been allowed to happen because they haven't impacted the white majority to the extent that they've impacted people of color. And often the white majority recounts very positive experiences with police, which makes it difficult for them to hear and internalize the challenges that people of color often bring up when they have encounters with police. And so we need the white majority to not only be more aware of what's happening, but to use their privilege and their power to raise questions and concerns about these issues.
Just to follow up on that briefly, Nakima, what do you think it is that white people don't get about the Black Lives Matter movement?
Well, one of the things that I think scares people when they hear Black Lives Matter is this idea that, oh, maybe they're saying my life doesn't matter because I'm white. That is a fallacy. Number one, we're saying that every system in this country affirms white lives mattering. The opposite seems to be true when it comes to people of color and poor people in general. And so we want people to understand that the movement is making an affirmative statement to say that, you know, if Black Lives Matter, then prove it. You know, show us how these systems hold officers accountable when they kill unarmed people. Show us how the criminal justice system is working effectively for the money that's being spent. We're also saying that you're invited to the table. We're not going to exclude white people in the same manner in which many of us have felt excluded within society, but we are inviting them to the table to join us as partners in standing up for justice.
You know, you mentioned that you had been teaching at the faculty, I guess it was the University of St. Thomas, since about 2003.
Yes.
This summer, you understand you left that position as a law professor there. Why did you decide to leave that post, and what are you doing now?
I decided to leave my position because I wanted to go deeper in the fight for racial and social justice. I loved teaching law. I loved working with students. But the more that I became involved in the protests and demonstrations, the more that I realized that my calling was outside of the walls of the law school. By being able to travel more freely around the country talking about these issues. So in the meantime, I am still currently the president of the Minneapolis NAACP, also a civil rights attorney. My hands are full with the work that I'm currently doing.
Nakima Levy-Pounds is president of the Minneapolis NAACP and will be speaking at St. Michael's College tonight on racism and the culture of policing. It starts at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.